Good morning, Bethlehem United Church of Christ. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here this morning, a privilege to speak to you. We are the Green Team, and we had planned a wonderful outdoor worship experience for this morning, a beautiful spring morning. So, I'm going to have to ask you to utilize your imaginations a little. I'm going to ask you to call upon your memories, your experiences of a beautiful spring morning. And if you're comfortable doing so, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and allow me to help you get there a little bit. There's a clear blue sky above you. It's accentuated with white, fluffy, cumulus clouds. There's a warm, gentle breeze stirring leaves on the majestic oak trees. Dappled sunlight illuminates everything around you. You slip your shoes off and feel the grass under your feet and between your toes. You hear the sound of birds singing and the fragrance of spring flowers in bloom wafts through the air. Just rest there for a moment. Submerge yourself in God's creation. Feel God's loving embrace gently wrapped around you. Open your heart in this safe space and be embraced by God's creation, the most powerful expression of God's unconditional love for all of us. For the past, you can open your eyes now. Make sure nobody's asleep. For the past 40 years, my life's journey has been intentionally guided by my desire to grow in my relationship with God, to pursue that oneness with God that is summed up in the motto of the United Church of Christ found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 21, where Jesus prays that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And so far in my journey, this is what I have experienced, that the highest truth available, the deepest root to which we can cling and draw nourishment day after day, is that each and every one of us is a beloved child of God. And that the greatest power in the universe, the power that undergirds and animates all of creation, is God's unconditional love. In my first year at Eden Seminary, I was introduced to a new word and a new concept. The word is hermeneutics. And the concept is one of understanding that when we as individuals come to our sacred text, when we read the words of the Holy Bible, we do so through a lens. This lens is composed of conscious and subconscious beliefs and certainties about God, about the world around us, about who we are, about what is important to us, about our understanding of good and evil, our experience of love and fear, of pain and healing, of comfort and rejection, of assurance and doubt. There's a whole lot of stuff that serves as a lens. And our mind brings all of this to the interpretation process, to our understanding and experiencing God's Word. So I learned early in my faith journey that in order to be as faithful as I can be in my engagement with the Word of God, I got to be aware of and I've got to acknowledge my lens, my personal hermeneutic, and strive to see beyond that lens to achieve a more intimate experience of God's Word. And what I discovered thus far is that the best way for me to have this experience is to be as intentional as I can be in reading God's Word through the lens of unconditional love. And I know that this concept is somewhat countercultural. I know that it can set our minds reeling, rationalizing, relativizing, even rejecting. That this idea can set loose a flood of, yes, but. I know also that the lens of fear is always a powerful contender for experiencing God's Word and experiencing the world around us. So being fully aware of these tendencies, I'm going to ask you this morning to acknowledge them as best you can and put on the lens of unconditional love as we go a little deeper into this first book of the Bible, this first chapter of Genesis. The first story is the story of God creating this world for us. The story of God revealing to us, if you will, the blueprint for life as God has conceived it and brought it into being. In the beginning, the very breath of God, the very Spirit of God moves across the raw materials of the universe and brings light and life into the world. A sun for energy. A time of darkness where everything can rest. God separates the waters, water above, water below. We know that as an ever-renewing hydrological cycle. The basic ingredient for all living things. Water, constantly flowing, constantly refreshing, constantly renewing, because everything that God has created requires water. You and I are around 60% water. Those beautiful oak trees are around 50% water. Every living creature. Then God calls upon the earth. God says, let the earth put forth vegetation. Plants yielding seed and fruit trees that bear fruit with seeds. And the earth brought forth all of the vegetation. And God said, that's good. Notice that this is a collaborative effort. God didn't just say, let there be trees, let there be plants. God said, let the earth bring forth. God is collaborating with God's creation to bring forth vegetation. Working together, God creates. Have any of you ever walked through Wesselman Woods? Don't be shy. Put your hand up. Have you ever climbed the hills at Audubon Park? Have you ever explored the trails at New Harmony State Park? Have you ever journeyed to southern Illinois and experienced the grandeur of the Shawnee National Forest? Throughout my journey, I have found these places and so many more to be sacred places. Places where I feel like everything that might separate me from God kind of falls away, and I feel a closeness and an intimacy with God in the midst of God's creation. When our children were young, Jenny and I used to often take them to the woods for a hike. And pretty much every time we mentioned we're going to go for a hike in the woods, we were met with, oh, that's boring. Do they have a playground? Can we stop and get something to eat? Well. I'm sure it was just my kids. But within 10 to 15 minutes of being in the woods, they were absorbed. They were finding sticks and finding creeks and climbing logs and scampering over boulders and looking for flowers and chasing squirrels. There was so much. It was so engulfing. It was so amazing. The wooded lands, the forests, the beach, the mountains. There is a healing there. There is a calmness there. There is a powerful presence of God in God's creation. And God continues. God says, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons, for the days, and for the years. God organizes a rhythm to God's creation out of chaos. A dance, a diverse, dynamic, constantly moving yet steadfast circle of amazement and reminder of God's love. There are not only lights in the heavens, but they are constantly moving. They are constantly changing. They are constantly reminding us that in every season of our lives, in every aspect of our experiences, God moves with us. God is with us. And God saw that that was good. So God says, let the waters bring forth. Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. And let the birds fly above the earth and across the dome of the sky. More movement, more dance, more song, more collaboration. And God said, yeah, that's good too. And then God says, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply upon the earth. God blesses these first living, moving creatures of the sea and the air with the power of regeneration, the power of sustainability, with the essence of life. And then God says, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals. More collaboration. And it was good. And then God says, let us make humankind in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish and over the birds and over the cattle and over the wild animals and over every creeping thing upon the earth. And so God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, He created them male and female. God created them. There's no hierarchy there. There's no one before the other. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and all the living things. See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the air, earth, and bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. God created the potential for abundance, for everything that we need. And God saw that everything God had made was good. It was very good. This reminds me of a story about a young pastor who grew up in the city. And her first call was to a rural church. And she went to visit one of the members of her new congregation who was a farmer. And they were walking around the farm and she was surveying his beautiful vegetable gardens and the fields of wheat and the cattle grazing and the chickens picking around. So much life and vitality. And she remarked, God has done marvelous things here. And the farmer remarked somewhat dryly, well, before my family moved here and we began to work this land, when God just had it to himself, it wasn't so marvelous. God calls us to collaboration. God's creation depends upon our collaboration, our working with God, our working with what God has provided. Our lens of unconditional love, of God's unconditional love, is important in this last verse because the last verse contains those words, subdue and have dominion over. And we can get hung up on those words. We can interpret them as telling us that we can do whatever we want with God's creation. We can subdue it. We can claim dominion over it, manipulate it, exploit it, use it for whatever we think is best. But when I read those words through the lens of love, I read that God has called us to be stewards of what God has made. To take that wild, weedy field and turn it into a well-cultivated source of food and resources for God's people. To have sovereign authority, another word for dominion, means that God has put us in charge. God has entrusted us to take the creation that God has given us and continue to nurture it, continue to facilitate its regeneration, continue to see to its sustainability. Yes, God has put us in charge. This is not the planet of the apes. This is not a path that leads to AI taking over the world, so we have no responsibilities for it. This is God telling you and I that God has created this earth and all that is in it for us, and leaves it in our hands and gives us the responsibility, the authority, the privilege of protecting and proliferating what God has provided. The web, the tapestry, the beauty and the majesty of all that God has made. Everything that God has repeatedly, again and again, said, this is good, this is very good. So we are invited to live in harmony, in collaboration, in nurturing interdependence with all that God has made. We are created by God to center our identity, our purpose, and our life's journey in God's open invitation to be partners in the process of creative collaboration to which God has invited us from the very beginning. And yes, God has left us free to choose. And the lens of scarcity and the lens of fear are another option. And there's more about that in chapter 2. But the first chapter gives us a lens of abundance and God's unconditional love. God has provided all that we need and invites us to choose love. May it be so. Amen.